you want to be a master in the space, like you gotta bring the heat and you gotta get obsessed.
Hello, welcome to episode 156 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter, and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we're joined by Destin, Florida-based real estate professional Josh Parrish. After several years in sales and personal training, Josh got his license and began his real estate career. Under the guidance of one of the area's top brokers, Josh learned the ropes and has sold more than $35 million in real estate in the last 4 years. Throughout our conversation, Josh shares how he built his book of business by meticulously preparing for cold calls, building a lead list to last a decade, and how he began focusing on building his personal brand. But before we get on to today's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. Also, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to the day's featured interview with Josh Parrish. In addition to real estate, Josh has also launched his coaching business that combines his knowledge gained from both sales and personal training to help transform every aspect of your life. I've included a link to Josh's Instagram profile in the episode description. Just to start everything out, if you could, just introduce yourself to us a little bit, who you are and where you're at.
I'm Josh Parrish here in the Panhandle, Destin, Florida, beautiful Emerald Coast. And I've been selling real estate for nearly 4 years now.
Awesome. Yeah, Destin is a beautiful part of the, not only the country, but definitely the state of Florida.
Oh, absolutely. It's a little hot here right now, but man, the water was beautiful today. And it's typically beautiful. Sometimes we get some seaweed, but besides that, it's usually what dreams are made of, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me what it was that got you interested in real estate to begin with.
Well, I kind of missed the boat. When I was 19, I had a mentor that he was a developer, and he's like, Josh, you know, you should get your real estate license. And I failed the Florida test twice by 1 point. And I was just like, you know what? Forget it. And so it was another, 14 years or so. Yep. 30. I was 12, 13 ish years. You know, it was definitely well over a decade. Got my license in Kansas City. Didn't sell a house at all. But even though, you know, Kansas City is a great area, I just wasn't really feeling the space just because, well, the price points are a little bit lower than here at the beach. And I didn't want to stay in the Midwest forever. So I was like, well, real estate's a long-term thing. So might as well start where I'm going to end or at least stay for a while. So yeah, just didn't job in Kansas City, moved back here to the beach. And it was 6 months or so before I actually got started in real estate, but I had the opportunity because I've been a personal trainer and massage therapist for the last, since I was 20 or so. And I had the opportunity to start with an absolute juggernaut in the area. Not going to drop names or anything, but she's a Hall of Fame salesperson. And I got to drink from the fire hose of wisdom, and it was extremely intense. But I'm an intense person as well, because even though, you know, I've been in, you know, fitness and massage therapy, I've been a salesperson my entire life. So she thought that I had the juice, and we're definitely high D's on that DISC test. And we jived there for about a year. So I not only learned the language of, you know, of real estate, because I guess so many realtors fail because it's just so wide ranging of how you can run your business. And, you know, not only did I get to learn the basics, I got to learn the upper echelon language of, you know, the top of the top. We're talking like this. And, you know, I get my motor gets going. The bigger the deal, I'm honed in. When the pressure's on, I'm in it. So yeah, I mean, I took away a lot of wisdom from that year mentorship. I was selling in that time, but yeah, I definitely say it was a mentorship, and I was very blessed for being there, but I definitely paid dearly. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, when you were getting started out and looking for that right person to kind of connect with, was that what you were looking for? Was that really, you know, kind of hardcore mentor that was going to give you that, you know, that crash course on everything right out of the gate?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime I do something, I look for a mentor in the space, that one that can handle me, because I've had hundred plus sales jobs for sure. Been fired from most of them, or I quit. But always took a nugget of wisdom, and it takes a special person to be my mentor. And when I approached this woman to be my mentor, she scares the hell out of a lot of people. And I jive with powerful women. And the secret to getting a mentor is you find out what they need. You don't ask them what they need. You find out, you know, what's missing in their day to day, and then you fulfill it. Right. So, you know, she definitely just needed help in her everyday life and needed help, you know, opening doors and stuff like that. And just, I could hang, man. So I definitely blended in quite well. And, it was pretty sweet.
Awesome. And then, so from going on from there, how did the real estate career kind of take off after that year of mentorship?
You know, I got a coach, and even though we weren't working together still with that mentor, I moved on to another coach and whatnot, not necessarily in the real estate space, but I learned how to generate real estate leads. And, you know, it was all cold call based. Like, that was the majority of her business. But I mean, she's a heck of a marketer. But, you know, if you don't have any money and you have time, you got to hit the phones. And the generic scripts that a lot of brokerages are going to give you, I never used them. And I've had a lot of like cold call sales jobs, but the informed real estate sales call, if you talk about the money first, that gets people's attention. And if you study the neighborhood, if you study what they've done and what they own on the county records, because I call up a person around here, they own $1 million house, $5 million house. That commission could be, I mean, what the majority of the United States' year salary is. So it's worth it to take the time to study that individual. And then, you know, the better that you get, you can see like years that they bought, what they bought it for, and what things are, you've internalized what things are selling for now. So it's like, okay, well, if this person could make $1 million or $2 million, they need to know about it. Mm-hmm. So my script was super simple, and, you know, just started out the call, like ring, ring. And they're like, hello. And I'm like, John, cause you always like, you say the first name, you say Mr. Wilson. They're like, oh no. You know, because you get called Mr. and then it's automatic salesperson. So you call them up like an old friend. And then, you know, I was like, you know, Destin's in one of the hottest sellers market we've ever seen. You own on 123 Street. You ever thought about selling that thing? Because it looks like you could make about $1 million. And they're like, I could make $1 million. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Can I send you over the data? Let's look at it. And they're like, shoot, yeah. And these were, you know, high powered professionals. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have to be, I didn't have to say words that, you know, this long. I don't know if you can see my camera. I didn't have to say like words with 18 syllables and like, I'm a scientist of this and that. You just talk about the money. And even though I was polished in my presentation, it was just very, very simplistic and fast. And because I appreciated their time, I respected their time, and just got straight to the point. And if people know that you know what you're talking about, they'll talk to you. And especially if you're talking about money.
Right. Absolutely. So yeah. when you were, you know, kind of gathering these leads and that information, what was kind of your process for doing that? Because obviously that inform call, I feel like that's, you know, that's the way to go, is you have all the information right out of the gate. It's not one of those, you know, let me make the phone call, but then I have to say, oh, well, let me get back to you on that. You want to have all that information right then and there. So what was your process for having all that information for your initial call?
Well, for the most part, this pinged in my head. If you don't know an answer, it's better to just say, that's a great question. Let me look that up and I'll get back to you because I'd like to know that. Or you say, I've got John, he's an attorney down the road. I could just call him up and I'll get that answer for you. But you don't want to blow smoke per se. But I created a standard operating procedure. I filmed it on Zoom and I created folders and whatnot. So I taught this process to Filipinos, and my database has 9,000 reports in it. Right. And I haven't touched 8,000 of them. So, but create these standard operating procedures. And I would go in to the neighborhood and the MLS, and I would run the CMAs for multiple years, right? And then I would see, you know, what the increases over the years were in terms of percentages. And I'd just be really, really knowledgeable about the hyper local market and the neighborhood. I would call up HOAs. I would, you know, call up people that may have just bought and talk to them about their experience and why they bought, and like, hey, well, John that bought this right over here, he said this. What was your experience buying 5 years ago? So they're like, oh, he's in the neighborhood. So I would just, man, I would just come in on all sides and just, I mean, these people were just like, oh Lord, but I wouldn't be so precise with my language that I scared them. Cause if you seem like a stalker, then they definitely don't want to talk to you. But, you know, I mean, I would say like, hey, you may own, you know, a house on Main Street, you know, you ever thought about selling that thing instead of like, you bought this year and whatnot. But if they got in depth in the conversation, then I knew to be, you know, let on a little more information. It just wasn't like, I studied you for 30 minutes for this call, fool. Like,
right.
Like it wasn't like that. For sure. But no, just MLS, county records, social media, you know, just got to kind of be a private eye, private investigator. And I know it sounds creepy, but knowledge is power. And you don't necessarily tell everybody up front that you know their answer. But if you know their answer before, then they just seem super intuitive and like, you know, like, so yeah, man. I mean, it's just it took a lot of time in the trenches up front, but then over time, you know, it got easier. And especially when I hired the Filipinos to do the grunt work of creating these reports for me, then my CRM is super easy. It's a one page layout, and then I could just, you know, hit the phone number, you know, in my dial it my phone, and then I would see like years sold, how much it was. This is their first name. This is their spouse's name. This is the other houses and neighborhoods that they own in. This is their job. You know, so I would know all this stuff, and I could just scan it in like multiple seconds. And then if they actually picked up, then I went into like, you know, predator mode. So yeah, I mean, but I spent so many hours doing this. And, but at the end of the day, like if you want to be a master in the space, like you gotta bring the heat and you gotta get obsessed. And right. I mean, you know, you can't, I mean, there was a lot of deals that I missed out on just because I was new in the space, but everybody in the neighborhood knew my name by the end of the week for sure. Cause I mean, I would call different neighborhoods and whatnot. And like that, I didn't sell near as much as I should have because I was more obsessed with perfecting my lead generation system and getting the data. That's what I honed in on because I was thinking that I was going to go in the lead gen space instead of, because I like to sell homes. I'm more of a listing agent than a buyer's agent. And I know that most realtors fail because they don't get to pitch enough. They don't have the opportunities to sell, right? They don't know how to do it. So I was going to do that. And then I'm just like, man, like I didn't do that. But yeah, I mean, probably 2021, I generated about $150 million worth of listing opportunity, closed about 15 of it. And, you know, I mean, I was working hard, but I just wasn't super interested. I wasn't necessarily interested as much as I should be on the conversion and the actual making of the money. I was making pretty good. And like, I'm building this mecca of a system to like go in the next chapter. And that's my toxic trait, man. I'm always trying to build some mecca of a system or something. So,
well, I mean, and you know, it's one of those things, if you do it long enough, like that whole, all those people and all those leads, you know, that's a whole database for years and years to come that you, yeah, you know, can, you know,
oh, dude, I could run a team of 10 right now out of my database, and we wouldn't touch it for a decade. Like, it was just, after a while, I was like, what am I doing? Like, it's just, I've got this, you know, this storehouse of information that I'll never do anything with. I don't want to say never, but, you know, I think, what's the stat? Like, 10% of your contacts, your book of business, it's a 10% rescission rate each year. And, you know, so probably 30% of it's not good anymore, but I dive back in all the time and I call up folks. And if they don't own the house anymore, they'll let you know. So then you just go back in and you just update it and, you know, make a new lead or something. So it's, you know, it's, It's super simple. Like it's so simple, it's dumb. And I never bought a real estate lead because all of this information is public domain. Like it really is. So to buy leads, I don't want to say it's lazy because sometimes people just have so much money they can do that, you know, but it would hurt my heart if I spent $500 on a lead, you know, like right. Do it with it. Like
right. Well, and then with the buy-in, if they're not putting in the time to do that research, like you are on that lead. So what if you bought the lead, you have the phone number, but if you don't have all the other information behind it and have that whole, you know, that arsenal to go in on the sales pitch, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot with that bought lead anyway.
You're right. Absolutely. Yeah. Just, you gotta work the leads, man. The ones that come in, you gotta work them until they tell you to leave them alone.
Right. Absolutely. So you said that was 2021 that really kind of took off for you, and how has things, you know, kind of progressed since then? Cause obviously, you know, the market's changed and things have gotten so crazy.
Market has changed. You know, I've sold about 10, 15 million each year since then. This year slowed down for me a little bit just because, you know, I still love real estate. I did get my broker's license, but I'm more so focused on building my personal brand online presence. And I'm dipping back into the coaching space just because I know that I'm meant for coaching and teaching people these lead generation skill sets and sales tactics and whatnot. So I'm definitely, you know, I think I've sold like maybe 5 or 6 million this year. And, you know, it's like I have the ability to generate a lot of momentum very quickly. So, but right now I know that online presence, the video, and, you know, just how you put yourself out there, being on podcast, man, it lives on the internet 24/7 a day. And, you know, not that I was getting necessarily tired of calling, but I was only as good as my last call. So I've got some money saved up and it was time to invest in, you know, what's going to work for me all the time. And so I'm doubling down on content and podcast right now. So, but yeah, I mean, I work leads almost every day in my book of business, past clients and whatnot, and just checking in, and I still check the high sales and let people know about it. And, you know, it's just, if you just tend the handful of people that you have, cause around here, there's a lot of investors. There's, you know, one person may own 10 houses in the area. So, I mean, you just keep them in your good graces and like, you know, stuff will fall in your lap. You know, I haven't ever sold any other markets in terms of just like people that live there. You know, so it's probably a little bit more of a different strategy per se. Right. But yeah, I mean, I have my little book of business that has a lot of houses and stuff, and I, you know, keep in rapport with them, and people like to see my videos and whatnot. So yeah, just you can never go wrong with making content and putting yourself out there in terms of like your actual personality. I notice, and I haven't ever really been good about not being authentic. Like I'm a rough, polished individual somewhat. Like, you know, it's definitely 50-50 and I don't have much of a filter. So I know, like, when I sold insurance and I was trying to do the whole, like, I'm a robot, like, look at me, I'm a farmer's insurance guy, you know, like it was killing my soul, man. And so just by me putting out the information and content that, you know, is informative and it's me, like that is really attracting the people that like me into my sphere. So, you know, and the people that don't like me, they'll move on, they'll keep scrolling, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's wonderful. Cause with the cold call, you never know who's on the other end. Now, I was very intuitive with, like, you know, like disc profiles, and like, you might have Grandma Ethel pick up the phone. She's like, hello. And I'm like, Ethel, hi, how are you? You know, or, you know, you got a Neil, the lawyer in New Orleans in the high rise. And he's like, what do you want? And like, Neil, you want to make $1 million today, sir? And he's like, what? And like, so it's just super intuitive. But with the online videos, man, it's definitely it's a magnet for who you want.
Right. Absolutely. And I want to talk to you about, you know, that the, you know, as you kind of create this, you know, aura of success around yourself, then, you know, being able to attract the types of clients that you're looking for, and also, you know, just keep building upon that success. So what was it that really kind of got you into wanting to create that personal brand and, you know, projecting that success out there?
Well, one, so Warren Buffett said that if you, something along the lines of, if you can't figure out how to make money when you sleep, you're always going to be broke, or something along those lines, right? And, you know, just me knowing that, you know, in this space, cold calling, it's the way to generate, like, there's only one way of active marketing, and that's asking people in the now to do business with you. Everything else is passive marketing. But I just, you know, I have a life. I want to go do other things. I want to go, you know, not necessarily sit and call on the phone all day, because it's just, there's more to life. And like, I want to continue to work out and get more jacked and like go play in the sunshine and stuff. And like, I can make content that might get watched 10,000 times and I spend an hour on making it. So it's just, it's the whole investment mentality, you know, like make something once and let it try to go viral, or let it. So, yeah, I mean, that's what really motivated me to build my personal brand.
Right. Right. And so when I, you know, your videos, obviously, you know, you have the real estate stuff on there, but then you also have more, you know, the success and the fitness and all that. So you really are, I really like that. You know, you get to see a glimpse of who you really are through your videos.
Absolutely. And, you know, the more authentic that you can put yourself out there, the more people are going to trust that you're actually, you know, you're saying what you mean. And by putting the content out there regularly, they're going to warm up to you. So the, you know, it may take some time to build up that momentum, but the speed to lead is a lot faster. The speed to conversion is a lot faster because your content has done the work for you, instead of like, hey, I've met this person at a networking event and I've got to call them a dozen times and talk to them on the phone for 30 minutes when they flip open their Facebook app or their Instagram app and like, oh, here's Josh again. He's doing something funny. He's doing something wild. He's informing me right now. So it's like it's a touch, right? So yeah, I mean, just it's really neat the way that social media has enhanced our lives. And I mean, sometimes it's a negative, but it's a huge positive if that's how you want to look at it. And yeah, I mean, just can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with putting yourself out there, you know, once again.
Right. Absolutely. How have you seen things kind of shift in your business now that you've been, you know, kind of focusing on the content creation and building that personal brand?
You know, in terms of real estate, I haven't necessarily put out a whole lot of content. Now, I was making some YouTube videos, reverse engineering of, you know, what people might ask in the area. So when they do the YouTube search, I haven't necessarily put out those videos just yet, but you know, if you go in and you ask, you know, like, you know, you're thinking about how, like, so in this rental space, this market where people, you know, come and they visit all the time, you're thinking, because I made a video about all the beach accesses, you know, I made a video about all the restaurants on the water, I made a video about the hotels in the area, I made a video about the best golf courses in the area. Just got to run them out there. So I know that when I actually turn that on, when I put them out there and people start searching that, because YouTube is direct hand in hand with Google, it's going to be sweet. Like, it's going to be great. But you know, that being said, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't put that much real estate content out there. It's more so been just about my lifestyle and my fitness and whatnot, and just my coaching. But, yeah, I mean, not all is lost, you know. I mean, I'm very well versed in the space, and I'm fully confident that, you know, just pick back up where I left off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think those videos, once you get those turned on, I mean, cause that's something that, you know, the beach access is, and those types of things. I know, like in Destin, for anybody that's coming to visit, and, you know, you go to a vacation spot like a Destin, you get so many people that do come in for a vacation and they're like, man, I really would like to, you know, one day maybe live here. And if they're seeing you pop up and all those videos about those informational things, it might not be something they call on, yes, you know, tomorrow or the next day, but in 6 months, or, you know, maybe when they're freezing up in Pittsburgh or something, you know, they might be like, oh, I remember that guy telling me all about the best places to go.
Absolutely. And the way that I was obsessive about the cold call mechanics and the standard operating procedures of, you know, how to, you know, generate these reports for these leads, I got real obsessive about YouTube and, you know, I know all about YouTube now, even though it's always changing. And so now I'm kind of studying Instagram and Facebook a little bit, just because I know that, well, it's the future. Absolutely. And people are always searching for the beach. They're always like, when it's winter time and they're up freezing their butts off up in Michigan or something, they're like, oh man, I'm dreaming about the beach. So like, yeah, I just, you know, but the thing about it is, it's like, you can't make content and just throw it out in the abyss. You don't guess at it, study it. Like, and that's, I get real obsessive over things because I don't put out crap, you know? And then like, if I shoot, like I'm a sniper, like I'm going to shoot and I'm going to hit the target, or at least it's going to be damn close. So, because the things that I put out there, and I've always stood behind my work and my name, and I may have a down period, but it's never rest. It's always, I'm refining myself. I'm building another version of myself. It's a death and rebirth, and it's been habitual and it's been painful, but when I'm winning and I'm doing like what I'm supposed to do in the new version, oh man, you can't ask for a greater bliss, you know? Like, it's just, so, but it's not like you can just continuously, you know, you can't just hop in one space and the other without actually knowing the mechanics. You can't fake it like at all. So whatever you do, just, you know, just got to dial in and like, you gotta go in the darkness. Sometimes you gotta be in the cave and do your studies.
Right. Absolutely. So with the coaching that you're doing, tell me a little bit about that and, you know, what kind of coaching that you're getting into.
Yeah, I'm about to launch my first course. So it's all about personal transformation. And I've got this acronym. It's eight parts. It's called FEMPRIS. You know, it was PRESM at first, but then I added the financial portion. So we've got financial, emotional, mental, physical, recreational, environmental, spiritual, and social. And that's the eight pillars of self. My first course, it's the transformation of physicality, and our body is our vessel, right? It's our vehicle. And being a trainer over the last 20 years, working with hundreds of different people, I know the highest return on investment actions that we can perform to jumpstart our body and make our body just perform at, you know, peak capacity, even though it's the foundational pillars. It's, you know, it's those handful of action items. Like increasing your posture, you know, cleaning out your intestinal tract cleanliness, mobility, balance training, you know, calculating, like actually, you know, having a meal plan, you know, and then just the mindset of how can I win in this moment? Always looking for the win in the moment and being like a ninja in that space. So there's a couple of more pillars in that foundational physicality, you know, course, but yeah, man, it's not like going, and nothing against CrossFit, but these things, they're action items that you're supposed to do day in and day out and model your life after. And I forget his name. He has a real estate podcast, great guy, like super informative, but he says, you know, happy brokers sell the most real estate, and you can't feel like crap in your body and attract the success that you want, attract the type of energy that you want. Because if you're in pain, if you're feeling sick, if you're hungover, if you're bloated, like if you're not confident in yourself, like you're not putting your best self forward. Like if you feel great, everybody knows you feel great because you've got that pep in your step, right? So it doesn't matter what you want to do. The mindset and the physicality, that's your foundation right there, because that's how you move through the world. And that's, you know, I'm going to be making more courses and more courses. You know, I do a little bit of sales coaching for my buddy Elvis out in Texas. He's got a team. They do wholesaling. I coach their callers, you know, on mechanics of the cold call and whatnot. So I'm definitely doing some sales coaching as well. But yeah, the whole physicality thing, like you just can't get around it. You got to attack it if you really want to do what you want to do and do it well.
Right. Absolutely. I like what you said there about, you know, finding the little victories in everything you do, because I think that keeps you in that, you know, that success mindset and that positive mindset. That if you do, you know, kind of hone in on the successes and the wins of the day, that's going to keep that momentum moving.
Yeah. I mean, if you count the little wins, it's all about momentum, right? So your brain, I mean, yes, like you get a $10 million listing, it's like, oh yes, you know, but like a win is a win, right? So if you go out and you go for that 10-minute walk in the sunshine and you drink your glass of water and you stretch a little bit and like you get 7 hours of sleep in the night and like you're just like, I am winning right now. And you eat a good meal, you tell your family you love them, like you write a handwritten note to someone thanking them, you give gratitude. Like, dude, these little things, it's just, it creates so much momentum in your life. And then you are a winner then. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I think, you know, for me, I have my son, he'll be 9 in a couple of weeks. And I feel like that's something that you can see happen in kids so easily, like that whole idea, you know, the building their confidence in themselves, they're, you know, finding those small victories. He's a baseball player and he's kind of going through, he's transitioning into a new, more higher end baseball. And he has been killing it in his workouts these past couple of weeks. And I talked to him when we leave and I was like, what's going on, man? You look stronger. You're throwing the ball harder. He goes, I'm just more confident. I felt like I did really well last time, so I know I can do it now. And so, it's you can see all those those principles really well in kids.
Yeah, I played baseball for about 15 years from 5 to 20. And I went to a lot of baseball camps, had a lot of great baseball mentors, and it taught me a lot about life. And, you know, I mean, baseball, you never see the same thing twice, or at least, you know, something new can happen on the baseball field every game, right? So, I mean, you'll see a lot of things twice, but, you know, there's stuff that doesn't occur always can happen. And, you know, if you're tight and you're self-conscious, like, absolutely, you could be, you know, the most talented person out there. But if you're thinking about your girlfriend or your mama screamed at you before the game, like you're not going to play good, man, like at all. But then you got, you know, your backup second baseman or whatever, your backup anybody player out there. And, you know, maybe he got a new girlfriend, or maybe his mama fed him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with the strawberry jam or something, you know, he's like, yeah, that was my favorite. And he's out there, he's super loose and he's having a good time. Like baseball, that's why I love baseball, man, is because, like, one, you have to have a super short memory. Like, if you make an error, you can't think about it. You can't think about the last pitch. You have to play mindless, even though it's a thinking man's game. And, you know, you got to play hard, but you got to be under control. There's just so many different contradictions that you got to spin the plates. And, you know, I was a pitcher, so, I mean, that was definitely a mental game. And that's why I loved it so much, is because I was just always getting in people's heads before they even got up in the box. And, but yeah, man, I mean, just like with your son, man, just, you know, those little drills and whatnot, where they build the confidence and just, you know, you always want to go into a game feeling good. So, you know, that's cool that y'all are, you know, you're a good dad for doing that, taking them to games and stuff.
Well, and I think, you know, those principles, they carry through so well into the sales and the entrepreneurial, you know, careers and, you know, lives, because you do have to find the small victories and things and be able to, you know, if maybe that cold call that you had, maybe, you know, you slipped up, said something and blew it. Well, you know what? You're going to be calling somebody else here in a few minutes. You can forget about that one.
Shoot. Yeah, man. You could go 0 for 10 over the last three games, get up there in the bottom of the ninth, you know, bases loaded, hit a home run. And then nobody remembers the past three games. You're a hero for the next, at least until the next game, you know, you're getting carried out on people's shoulders if you do that. So you can't, you know, just know that the next opportunity could really just change everything for you. So if you go at it like that, it really changes life. Yeah, it's like, just can't let the past hold you down, because the best is yet to come.
Yeah. Well, I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. Where can people find more, you know, more of your, you know, your videos, obviously. So like your Instagram feeds, but then also the coaching and the things you're going to be launching. Where can people kind of keep updated on that?
Right now, Instagram is the best place to get a hold of me. And my Instagram is obviously Instagram at the Josh Parrish, THEJOSHPARISH. Just direct message me. But yeah, I mean, that's I'd be more than happy to talk with you. Let's create some banter.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, again, I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you.
I want to thank Josh for taking the time to talk with us today. I really like his approach to gathering as much information as possible about a property or seller prior to making initial contact. Remember, if you're interested in hearing more from Josh, I've included a link to his Instagram page in the episode description. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message to feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.